Good morning. It's the 14th of August, 2025, and you're listening to Northland Views here on Sun Sounds of Arizona. This is your volunteer reader, Chuck Kaufman, in Flagstaff, bringing you these headlines from the WilliamsNews.com website, News of Williams and the Grand Canyon. First, Arizona leaders assure visitors Grand Canyon South Rim is open amid North Rim fire. National Park Service implements water restrictions at South Rim, and Kaibab National Forest enters Stage 2 fire restrictions, reduces North Kaibab closure area. That first headline is by Doreen Holche. Arizona leaders assure visitors Grand Canyon South Rim is open and amid North Rim fire. Grand Canyon. Local and federal leaders converged at the Grand Canyon South Rim last week to deliver a unified message to visitors. The South Rim is open for business and welcomes visitors despite the ongoing Dragon Bravo fire that continues to burn on the North Rim. Williams Grand Canyon News was on site for Senator Mark Kelly's August 8th visit, capturing footage of a promotional video featuring the senator alongside Tucson Mayor Clarinda Vale, Williams Mayor Don Dent, and Coconino County Supervisors Tammy Ontiveros and Patrice Horstman. The message was clear. We want to send the message that this place is open, and if you've ever planned to visit, then now is a great time, Kelly said. Come visit. We're open, Horstman said. The promotional effort comes as the region deals with the fire's devastating impact on the North Rim. The representatives recorded their message outside the historic El Tovar Hotel along the canyon's edge with the Dragon Bravo fire still burning visibly in the distance. Kelly wasn't alone in delivering this message. Representative Eli Crane, a Republican of Arizona who visited separately on August 7th, also recorded a promotional video emphasizing the South Rim's accessibility and splendor. A lot of people have been asking what we can actually do to help. The best thing you can do to help is to actually come to the South Rim. As you can see, it's open, it's still beautiful, and you guys can come here to recreate and support small businesses, Crane said in his video. The lightning-caused Dragon Bravo fire has devastated the North Rim, reducing the historic lodge and surrounding cabins to ruins. As of August 11th, InsaWeb reported the fire had burned more than 143,000 acres. The fire is visible in the distance from the South Rim, far enough away that one can only imagine the destruction that was so devastating it destroyed buildings and communities, closed Highway 67, and left North Rim businesses struggling. On August 8th, Senator Kelly received briefings on the Dragon Bravo fire from the incident command team, inspected the fire damage from the air with the Park Service, and heard from small businesses about the impact on the local tourism economy. The lodge on the North Rim has burned basically to the ground, Kelly said during his visit. It's going to have to be entirely rebuilt lodge and all the cabins there as well, and the housing for staff on the North Rim. While the immediate focus centered on reassuring current visitors to the South Rim, both leaders also outlined a shared vision for long-term recovery. Kelly specifically highlighted his intention to work with Crane on the potential for making the rebuilt North Rim Lodge a year-round destination. I want to work with Eli on this, Kelly said, outlining plans to address the infrastructure issues that previously limited the lodge to seasonal operation. Now that it's burnt down and we're going to rebuild it, we should use this as an opportunity to make it better and get it to the point where it could stay open. As response efforts continue, the strategies presented by leaders last week offer hope that the Grand Canyon region will emerge stronger with improved infrastructure and year-round accessibility that could benefit visitors and local communities for generations to come. Williams Mayor Don Dent, representing the gateway to the Grand Canyon community, met with both Kelly and Crane on their respective visits. This is an opportunity to put out the word that the South Rim of the Canyon and all of the gateway communities are open for visitors, Dent said. The representative stressed that the South Rim continues to offer memorable experiences, and despite the North Rim's challenges, the Grand Canyon South Rim remains a premier destination. That's Arizona leaders assure visitors Grand Canyon South Rim is open amid North Rim fire. Our next headline, National Park Service implements water restrictions at South Rim, is by Calvin Shoemaker from the 12th of August. A broken section of the Trans Canyon waterline and a mechanical issue are forcing authorities at Grand Canyon National Park to implement water conservation measures. The park announced in a press release on August the 5th that the South Rim residents and visitors are advised to reduce water usage where possible due to a broken section of pipe north of Phantom Ranch. On August 8th, the park said in another press release that the pipe had been repaired, but a mechanical issue at Havasupai Gardens has kept pumping to the South Rim from resuming, prompting additional water restrictions. In addition to the park requiring residents and visitors to reduce flushing and water usage at large Delaware North's camper services, which include shower and laundry facilities, has been closed, and water spigots at Mather Campground have been turned off. The conservation measures will remain in effect until the mechanical issue is resolved and water tanks reach sustainable levels, the park said. And that's National Park Service implements water restrictions at South Rim. Our next article is from the 12th of August. Kaibab National Forest enters Stage 2 fire restrictions, reduces North Kaibab closure area. On August 8th, the Forest Service reopened a portion of the North Kaibab Ranger District, which was closed in its entirety due to the White Sage and Dragon Bravo fires. In addition, Stage 2 fire restrictions have gone into effect for the North Kaibab and Tucson Ranger Districts. North Kaibab Ranger District closure. Most national forest lands north and east of Highway 89A have reopened. This includes Lefevre Overlook, Navajo Trail, and a portion of the Arizona Trail, Jacob Lake Campground, Jacob Lake Group Campground, and Jacob Lake Picnic Area also reopen. Jacob Lake Inn, Kaibab Plateau Visitor Center, and Kaibab Camper Village have been open since July 24th. Within the reopened area, portions of Forest Roads 247, 248, 248A, and 279A were heavily impacted by the White Sage fire and will remain closed for public health and safety. Visitors should use caution in and around the White Sage fire scar. Even in the reopened area, some hazards such as dead standing trees and possible flooding may exist. Be aware of firefighters and members of the burned area emergency response team working in the area. Stage 2 fire restrictions. The Forest Service has elevated the Tucson and North Kaibab Ranger districts to Stage 2 fire restrictions. In general, this means no fires even in developed recreation sites, no smoking, and no generators, chainsaws, or internal combustion engines during the hours of 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. Restrictions on the Williams Ranger District remain the same. Stage 3, temporary closure for the Bill Williams Mountain Watershed area, and Stage 2 for the rest of the district. Information on Kaibab National Forest closures, fire restrictions, and other general topics can be found on the Kaibab National Forest website at www.fs.usda.gov/R03/Kaibab, X, Facebook, or by calling the local ranger stations. This information was provided by the Kaibab National Forest for Kaibab National Forest enters Stage 2 fire restrictions, reduces North Kaibab closure area. Our next article from the 12th of August by Calvin Shoemaker. Kolb Brothers exhibit on display at Kolb Studio through September the 5th. Visitors to the South Rim of Grand Canyon National Park have a few more weeks to travel back in time and see the amazing Cole Brothers exhibit. On display through September the 5th, the exhibit housed in the historic Kolb Studio plays tribute to Emery and Ellsworth Kolb, the pioneering photographers and adventurers who left an indelible mark on the marketability and iconography of Grand Canyon. Made possible through National Park Service collaboration with Grand Canyon Conservancy and Northern Arizona University's Klein Library, the free display includes educational signage and text about the history of the Kolb brothers, related historic items, antique cameras, and more. The brothers are known for establishing a photography studio at the head of Bright Angel Trail in 1903. In 1904, a wood frame studio was built. With expansions made on the building over the years, the historic studio and home measures 6,000 square feet across 5 stories. The Kolb brothers took photos daily of mule trips entering the canyon and were the first to capture motion picture footage of the rapids and canyons of the Green and Colorado rivers. A trip in 1911 and 1912 took them from Green River, Wyoming to Needles, California with their camera equipment in tow. They spent 101 days on the water and traveled 1,167 miles on the trip, which led to a feature in National Geographic magazine and the creation of the Grand Canyon Film Show. The film was shown at the Kolb Studio from 1915 to 1976, making it the longest-running movie of all time. Visitors to the exhibit can see the film. The Grand Canyon Conservancy manages the historic building, which includes a gift shop and information desk. In 2024, the roof was replaced thanks to donors. The Grand Canyon Conservancy's Field Institute offers tours of the Kolb residence on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. The 2025 Grand Canyon Celebration of Art exhibition comes to Kolb Studio from September 12th to April 26, 2026. The 17th Annual Celebration of Art, a fundraiser for a dedicated art venue at the South Rim, is set for September 18th through the 21st, with participating artists creating art at the South Rim. The artwork produced during the event is shared during a 6-month sale, an exhibition online, and at Kolb Studio. Kolb Studio is open year-round from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. daily. And that's Kolb Brothers exhibit on display at Kolb Studio through September the 5th. Calvin Shoemaker also writes our next article, Williams Vikings Football Looks to Get Back on Track in 2025. This from the 12th of August. Football season is here, and the Williams Vikings have their sights set on returning to postseason relevance. After back-to-back first-round exits in the 1A state 8-man playoffs, the Vikings are looking to make a good showing in the postseason this year by focusing on effort and purpose, according to head coach Jeff Brownlee. "Effort and purpose are our words for this year," Brownlee said. "We're going to do everything with effort and purpose." Since Brownlee took over as head coach in 2009, the Vikings have played in 5 state title games times and captured state championships in 2017 and 2019. This season, the Williams squad hopes to bring back that tradition of postseason success. "I think we have a strong foundation," Brownlee said. "We went through a period in the last couple of years where we weren't where we needed to be. We're just trying to establish that culture back. Having a successful season will mean relying on its seniors and the offensive backfield of quarterback Jack Dent and running back Mario Pedraza to lead the way. You want your seniors to lead your team, and those are 2 real good quality people that are going to step up and lead," Brownlee said. The Vikings will also look for leadership out of seniors Jacob Winchester, Gio Perez, Brandon Rico, Russell Skinner, Quinton Ford, and Logan Winchester. Although the Vikings have yet to play a single down this season, Brownlee already likes what he's seeing from his team. "They all seem to work well together," Brownlee said. "The chemistry is really good this year, and I'm really excited about that." The Vikings open up the 2025 season at home versus Mayer on August 22nd at 7 p.m. That's Williams Vikings football looks to get back on track in 2025. You're listening to Northland Views here on Sun Sounds of Arizona with your volunteer reader, Chuck Kaufman. Remember, you can listen to Sun Sounds of Arizona programming like Northland Views streaming on the Sun Sounds of Arizona website at sunsounds.org or on the Sun Sounds of Arizona app. And that's available from the Apple App Store for your iPhone or iPad or the Google Play Store for your Android phone or tablet. And finally, you can listen to Sun Sounds of Arizona streaming on your Amazon Dot or Echo. Next, again from Calvin Shoemaker, we have Williams Community recognizes Purple Heart Day with flag-raising ceremony. Again from the 12th of August. Williams area veterans and community members recognize Purple Heart Day with an annual flag-raising ceremony at Monument Park on August the 7th. Together, Charlie Bassett of American Legion Cordova Post 13 and Lupe Velasco of Marine Corps League San Francisco Peaks Detachment No. 912 hoisted a Purple Heart flag reading honoring America's combat wounded veterans. The flag was flown under the American flag while bugler Rick Johnson performed to the colors, and flags of each military branch were also raised. Cordova Post 13 commander and Purple Heart recipient Roger Ely presided over the ceremony and spoke about the history of the medal, which is the U.S. military's oldest active military decoration. "No one wins the Purple Heart," Ely said. "It is awarded to someone who didn't want it in the first place." Although not an official holiday, Purple Heart Day is observed on August the 7th each year to coincide with the day in 1782, when George Washington, as Commander-in-Chief of the Continental Army, created the Badge of Military Merit. The badge was a heart-shaped piece of cloth with "Merit" embroidered in silver across the front, Ely said, and was an early precursor to the modern-day Purple Heart. Now, the Purple Heart is given to service members who were wounded or killed in action. "The Purple Heart is a symbol of American blood spilled on the battlefield," Ely said. "Today, this reminds us of the impact of war on all of us." Ely, commander of Military Order of the Purple Heart Chapter 793, also recognized the families of Purple Heart recipients who endure the hardships of having a loved one impacted by war. "On this day, when we think about those who were wounded and those who lost their lives in war, we rarely think of families who also suffered," Ely said. "When we observe Purple Heart Day and the 1.8 million awarded this decoration, we must also feel compassion for all of the family members of these men and women, and we should stand together as Americans to remember the phrase, 'All gave some gave all.'" The Cordova Post 13 Honor Guard performed military honors and Johnson played taps to close out the ceremony, which included a surprise visit from U.S. Congressman Eli Crane and Andy Biggs. Williams was officially designated as a Purple Heart City in 2018. And that's Williams Community recognizes Purple Heart Day with flag-raising ceremony. Our next headline, Williams Police Department hosts first National Night Out at Cureton Park. This by Calvin Shoemaker from the 12th of August. Williams area law enforcement personnel, firefighters, and first responders joined community members at Cureton Park on August the 5th for the first National Night Out hosted by the Williams Police Department. The community was treated to a free cookout with hundreds of hot dogs and hamburgers being served up by Williams Fire Department. The family-friendly cookout was attended by personnel from the Williams Police Department as well as other law enforcement agencies such as the Coconino County Sheriff's Office and the Arizona Department of Public Safety. Williams Police Chief James Gregory said the event was a good opportunity for the community to interact with local law enforcement officers and communicate any questions or concerns that they might have. A lot of times when we're in a patrol car, it's kind of hard when people don't want to come up and ask questions, Gregory said. This is a good opportunity for the community to come out and ask those questions. That's what we're here for. According to Gregory, a majority of the city police department attended, including officers, dispatchers, detectives, and animal control. Other agencies represented included Coconino County Emergency Management, Victim Witness Services for Northern Arizona, and the U.S. Forest Service. Gregory added that the event helps build strong community relationships and demonstrates how community members can work with law enforcement to make the community safer. We want to build relationships and make sure we have that good partnership with the community and show that we all work together, Gregory said. National Night Out, held the first Tuesday in August, is an annual campaign promoting partnership between police and the community. This is the first year Williams Police hosted a National Night Out event. Well over 200 people attended. And that's Williams Police Department hosts' first National Night Out at Cureton Park. Next, we have response team assessing severity of White Sage Fire. After a wildfire, the Forest Service's first priority is emergency stabilization in order to reduce risks to life, property, or natural resources. The Kaibab National Forest has initiated a burned area emergency response, or BAER, assessment of the 58,985-acre White Sage Fire burned area. The White Sage Fire was started by lightning on July 9th near the community of White Sage, approximately 15 miles southeast of Fredonia, Arizona, on the Bureau of Land Management's Arizona Strip District. The wind-driven fire quickly grew onto the North Kaibab Ranger District, despite the efforts of wildland firefighters who were able to respond a short time after the fire was first detected. The BAER team, led by Paul Brown, began making burned area surveys of the White Sage Fire on August the 1st. BAER teams are staffed by specially trained professionals, hydrologists, soil scientists, engineers, biologists, vegetation specialists, archaeologists, recreation specialists, and others who rapidly evaluate and assess the post-fire conditions of the burned area, looking for risks such as potential flash flooding and debris flows. If unacceptable risks are found, the team recommends appropriate emergency stabilization measures to reduce the risks to National Forest System, or NFS, lands and critical values. BAER emergency stabilization efforts are focused on the protection of human life and safety, property, and critical cultural and natural resources. BAER teams analyze the data they collect during field surveys as well as aerial reconnaissance to produce a soil burn severity map. This is the first step in assessing potential watershed impacts from wildfires to critical values that may be at risk from potential increased flooding, sedimentation, and debris flows. BAER teams produce a report that includes a description of the assessment and findings for the burned area's post-fire conditions, along with recommended emergency stabilization measures and actions on NFS lands. Another key role of BAER teams is the sharing of data and products with local cooperating agencies that may be affected by post-fire flood events. For more information, visit White Sage Fire Burned Area Emergency Response, BAER, on InciWeb. Public Safety Advisory. Fire crews continue to patrol the White Sage Fire Area perimeter, watching for flare-ups from previously undiscovered heat sources. A public safety closure order is still in effect, although the current closure order may be adjusted in the coming days as areas assessed by the BAER team are found suitable for public reentry. Everyone near and downstream from the burned area should remain alert and stay updated on weather conditions that may result in heavy rains and increased water runoff. Flash flooding may occur quickly during heavy rain events. Be prepared to act. Current weather and emergency notifications can be found at the National Weather Service website at www.weather.gov/FGZ. This information was provided by the Kaibab National Forest for response team assessing severity of White Sage Fire. Our last item for Northland Views today is WEMS thanks Officer Dash for serving as school resource officer. This is from the 12th of August. Williams Elementary Middle School recognized former school resource officer Grace Dash during a school assembly on August the 7th. Dash is moving on to an assignment in investigations after serving as the Williams Unified School District No. 2 SRO for the 2024-25 school year. At the assembly, Dash was thanked for her service with handmade posters from the students and flowers from the district office. Williams Police Officer Kelsey Soto now takes over as the district's SRO. And that's WEMS thanks Officer Dash for serving as school resource officer. You've been listening to Northland Views here on Sun Sounds of Arizona with your volunteer reader, Chuck Kaufman. Remember, you can listen to Sun Sounds of Arizona programming either as it streams or at a time of your choosing by going to the Sun Sounds of Arizona website at sunsounds.org or by downloading the Sun Sounds of Arizona app from the Apple App Store for your iPhone or iPad or for your Android phone or tablet from the Google Play Store. And finally, you can listen to Sun Sounds of Arizona streaming on your Amazon Dot or Echo.